Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. MasterClass.com/audio.
The Travelers Broadcasting Service, as Hartford, Connecticut.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here in the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents A Visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at Home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani and the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Welcome to our 7th edition of the Broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham and proud to continue to host the celebration of our march up to 100 years of broadcasting, looking back on our existence as a community service outlet in Connecticut. And part of that community service has been letting people know how to get around the state of Connecticut whenever there's a problem, whenever there's trouble. And part of that magic for us, our eye in the sky. There were a number of ways that we were in the sky. However, Mike Allen, formerly of WTIC's Air One, has some pretty impressive stories from that span of our history. We'll be talking with him, but first I want to get to some special remarks from former Connecticut Governor John Rowland, a regular guest on the station, even at one point in time, a host here at WTIC. Former Governor Rowland, welcome to our anniversary series to Broadcaster at 100.
You got it.
I found a recording, Governor, of you calling into Colin McEnroe's afternoon show the day that we learned Bob Steele had passed away. That was December of 2002. And it's obvious to me that you grew up with WTIC. You were a fan of Bob Steele. What do you remember of those early years of your life listening to 1080?
like many people, we would tune into TIC for a number of reasons. Number one, were we going to have school off if there was a snowstorm? That was always a big issue. And, of course, finding out what's going on when other things were happening around the world and around the country. And certainly TIC was dominant across the state. And I think all of us of my vintage grew up with Bob Steele and appreciated his sense of humor and just his steadiness. I mean, that he was comforting in so many ways, and that's a real benefit as a radio personality, to be able to calm people during storms or when something's gone wrong. And I think that's probably his greatest trait.
You were a governor-turned-talk show host, and that's something that's relatively unusual in our world. You don't hear that every day on a radio station. How did you find that transition? You went from being a politician and a newsmaker to an opinion leader.
You know, I've got to tell you, I was shocked when I first connected with TIC and they were talking about having me on as a radio personality. And I basically said, hey, I've got no experience. I mean, I really don't know how to do that. And I've got to give a lot of credit to, you know, Steve Salhaney and Janine and Suzanne and everybody, Joey and everybody at TIC, because they basically said to me, hey, just come on, be yourself, engage in conversation with people, you know, share your experiences, talk about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes when something's happening in Hartford or Washington, and try to make the experience a little bit unique. And to be honest with you, I was very nervous because I had no experience. And I asked if I could have Pastor Will, my pastor, Pastor Will Marotti, on with me. I thought if I had someone, you know, in the studio with me, it would be easier to do the show, being able to converse with somebody sitting across from the table. And it was easier. But what really amazed me is that the folks at TIC had the confidence and the interest to say, hey, just let it go. And, you know, just talk about how you feel, talk about the events of the day. I was never given any instructions or told what to say or what not to say. So it was a very natural event, a very natural transition, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Church and state. What an interesting combination of somebody who had experience as a former politician, former governor, and you're pairing up with your pastor, and the two of you are tackling issues from your different perspectives. Was that a concept that you thought would have worked?
The joke that Pastor Will and I made was, what are the things you're not supposed to talk about at the Thanksgiving table? Well, you're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. And we were going to have a talk show based on religion and politics. And when I say religion, it was really more about just, you know, faith and things going on in the world. And we try to make it real from that respect. And so when we came up with the idea of church and state, the joke was that I was the church and Pastor Will was the state, because he absolutely loves politics. You know, we both had a lot of different experiences that we brought to the table. You know, him as a pastor, me as a former politician and governor, and, you know, having been incarcerated. So there was a lot of a breadth of experience and background that we were able to bring to the table. But the most important thing was engaging with the callers. And I've got to tell you, we both enjoyed that so much. People were so interesting. They were friendly. They were conversant. They were exciting. They were challenging. We wanted people from both sides of the aisle. We wanted people that had differences with us. We frankly got more out of the show when people disagreed with whatever our opinions were. But it was civil, it was respectful, and I can tell you, over all the years that we were both on the show, I can't think of one instance where someone was disrespectful or uncivil in their discussions. So it was different, and, you know, it was unlike anything else going on in Connecticut or perhaps throughout the Northeast, with a pastor and a former politician talking about things you're not supposed to talk about at the Thanksgiving table.
Steve Salhaney and I were talking recently, and he said that you had said to him at some point in time that it appeared you got more recognition and appreciation on the talk show than you did as governor. Is that true in looking back?
Oh, Steve Salhaney loves to tell that story, but it's absolutely true. I mean, post-politics and even during and post-radio, more people talk to me about my time on the radio than my 10 years as governor. And to this day, people will come up to me and say, oh, I wish you were still back on the radio. And I love listening to you and Pastor Will. They didn't say, boy, I'm so glad you signed that bill, you know, 10 years ago or cut my taxes or anything else. So I would say most of the time people want to talk about my time on TIC and the engagement with Pastor Will, and amazing to think that people would have more connection. And I think the reason for that is simple. When you're on the radio, you're in someone's kitchen. You're in someone's car as they're driving to work or driving home or picking up the kids. So there's a relationship that's built when you're on the radio talking to someone. And if you do it in a conversational way, there can be a relationship without ever having met that person. So that went so much further than whatever years I had in politics and connecting with people, which was far more distant because of the relationship of being in the governor's office versus a voter.
When you were on WTIC as a talk show host, you did have at least some experience being on WTIC. What I mean by that is I found photos from the mid to late 90s of Ray Dunaway and you at the governor's residence in Hartford doing remote broadcasts. Do you remember those?
I do. First of all, Ray is one of the true professionals, and on my best day, I couldn't even hold a candle to his ability to connect with people and, you know, just his performance. He was so natural and easygoing. And as someone that was being interviewed by Ray, he made you feel comfortable. So politicians, Republicans, Democrats, everybody wanted to be on with him because they knew that he'd be fair, that he would, you know, be fun, that there'd be some, you know, perhaps some sense of humor displayed by both sides. So I remember having him at the governor's residence. I remember calling in so many different times. No one ever knew whether he was a Republican or a Democrat, and that's a real true test of somebody that's in his capacity versus someone like me that was a radio personality on the radio because of their opinions. There's a big difference between those two.
When you went to become a talk show host at WTIC, you were there with some really big heavy hitters. Obviously, Ray in the morning. There was Jim Vaisvich in the late morning. Rush Limbaugh, who was a national icon from noon to three. Did you ever feel worried that you weren't going to match up to the level of the other personalities?
Oh, I was a nervous wreck when I first got on. I wasn't sure how I was going to be received. You know, being a moderate Republican in a state like Connecticut, which is, you know, a little bit to the left of center. So I was worried about the political aspect of it. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to be myself, see what happens. And I think I fit well between like Rush Limbaugh, who's probably far to my right, and Ray, who was middle of the ground, easygoing. So it was kind of a great fit. And Jim V, of course, probably a little bit more to my right. So what I think TIC showed throughout the day was a variety of personalities, a variety of talk show folks that had different political opinions. But again, it goes back to the civility and the engagement of the personality. So yes, I was a nervous wreck starting out, but the people at TIC kept saying, don't worry about it, just get on there and be yourself and we'll see what happens.
Life changes, and the WTIC that exists today is not the WTIC from 30 years ago when you were doing the broadcast from the governor's residence. And it's not the same WTIC as when you did your afternoon talk show. But at the end of the day, what we do is still the same thing. We have local talk show hosts and personalities and newsmakers and news people who talk about issues pertaining to Connecticut and bringing that to Connecticut audiences, even though there has been change. What does the future hold?
So I think at the end of the day, people still want to get information. They still want news. They still want to know what's going on in their neighborhood, their backyard, in their schools. And I think one of the refreshing things about TIC is that it was always local. And it took a lot of discipline because a lot of radio stations wanted to go national and talk about what's happening in other parts of the world. And the focus of TIC to say, hey, here's what's happening in our schools, here's what's happening in our region, here's what's happening in our cities and our towns, is invaluable. And regardless of how upside down the world may be, I still care about what happens in my children or grandchildren's school. I still care about what happens in my city hall or town hall. I still care about what's going on in the playgrounds and what's happening with crime and what's happening in our community. So the value of TIC focusing on local news and bringing to light what's happening in our community is invaluable.
former Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland, and also former WTIC talk show host. We appreciate your time on the Broadcaster at 100, saluting 100 years of WTIC.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Up next, we're going to bring on our friend, WTIC Air One traffic reporter Mike Allen, who is literally our eye in the sky. His story's next on the Broadcaster at 100.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is former morning personality Ray Dunaway, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, celebrating the Broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday, WTIC, and I'm proud to have been part of it.
With us for the rest of the show, Air One traffic reporter Mike Allen on WTIC. And Mike, here's how we're going to bring you on the show. Yes, this is it, folks. The WTIC Air One sounder lives.
Yes, sir. Okay, I didn't know if there was going to be something following it, but yep.
Just the old introduction. You must have heard that a million times, Mike.
Oh, about 6 million times, I would say. Let me see, I was on the air every 10 minutes, six times an hour, 40 years, 5 days a week. I can't even begin to do that math.
Tell me about the earliest days that you know of WTIC's traffic reports from the sky, which started, I believe, a little bit before your time.
It was a number of years. The traffic reports were actually done by a reporter from the top of the Traveler's Tower. My predecessor, I believe, was one of the first ones to be in an aircraft. She started off in a helicopter, which proved to be way too expensive, and then they put her in an airplane. But that, let me see, I started in August of 1980. I would say the airplane traffic that became the standard was probably started in the late 70s, 77, 78.
When you started, were you just the traffic reporter, or did you have experience as a pilot?
I was a pilot. I had my commercial and instrument ratings. I was thinking about becoming a flight instructor to build some flying time. And I was actually my predecessor's pilot. She didn't have her pilot's license. So in essence, for about a year or so, I was flying Air One, even though I wasn't on the air. When she ended her employment at 1080, I was flying around the inevitable Ross Miller. Ross Miller loved to fly. He was actually the backup traffic reporter at that time. It was an excuse for him to get out of the office and go fly. And it was during that short period of time between when Kathy left and I started, we were having a conversation one afternoon, and I suggested that they look for somebody that could fly and talk on the air, never thinking for a second that it would be me. And it was one of those things that you remember. He looked at me, said, "You can talk and fly at the same time?" And I looked back at him and I said, "Well, Mr. Miller, we're talking right now, aren't we? I'm flying right now, aren't we?" That started my career.
That's amazing. Were you quite familiar at that point in time with Connecticut's roads, or was there a learning curve?
Oh, there was a learning curve. I was the typical commuter. I either knew an exit number or an exit name, or I recognized a building. I literally, when I started flying on air and learning, I spent a couple of weeks with Ross in the airplane, and he tutored me. I had a thick map that I made of 84, 91, Route 2, and a couple other roadways, and I had landmarks like, and I'm going to date myself now, Howard Johnson's by exit 33 on I-91, the orange roof, you couldn't miss it. Several other landmarks like that, and I would literally look at the highway and count up or down the exits from that landmark while I learned them.
I've got to tell you, I had the opportunity, I believe I told you, to go up in an introductory flight out of Hartford-Brainerd Airport. I'm quite familiar with Connecticut's roads on the ground, but then I went up in the sky. I had no idea what I was looking at, and it took me a while to find certain landmarks and be oriented up in the sky. That's a pretty difficult thing, isn't it?
It's a very different perspective. At that point, I had, I'm trying to think now, 1980, I probably had about 500-600 hours in the air. A lot of it in the general Hartford area, just flying around. So as learning as a pilot, you're used to recognizing landmarks and where you are. You orient yourself from the air. Now, I never learned exit numbers or actual exits. but knowing where I was actually quite easy.
When you were covering traffic in those earliest years, there was no flyover to get to I-91. You had to get off in downtown Hartford, and that caused problems galore, didn't it, Mike?
It was job security, I'll tell you that much. It was just an amazing thing to see where you had to get off 84 East, go downtown Hartford by G-Fox to get on I-91 North. And it was actually even longer before you had the transition to 91 South. Quite a thing. That'll always be a rumor and always controversy, but the story is that May Auerbach, who owned G-Fox at the time, wanted people to go by her store. But from everything I've read, that was just folklore.
You were actually there the day or right before the day the I-91 flyover opened up. And I saw a picture of you standing with some other people. One of them, I believe, was the DOT commissioner. I could be wrong about that. And there you are, WTIC's Air One reporter, Mike Allen, on top of the flyover after it had just been constructed. Do you remember that?
I absolutely do. It was a pretty cool day. I was invited ahead of time when they were setting things up. I was honored to be able to be a part of that. And it was really cool. I finished the interviews, did a little on-air stuff with announcing the opening, and we cut the ribbon and started letting traffic through. It was a pretty amazing thing.
Were you there when the traffic was moving by?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. We were all parked on the side of the road, not something you would even dare think about doing today.
No, absolutely not, especially in that area. As dorky as it may sound, every time I drive under that, which is daily, I do think of you up there. I really do.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because this is in the day when TV didn't always get the exclusives.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, we were there. Channel 3 was there, and I don't know that there was how many other people were there. It was a relatively low-key event, if I remember right.
But a major impact in Hartford that had, for sure.
Oh, yes. And it really helped things out for quite a while until, of course, the stream of traffic continued to build up and continued to choke a highway system that was never really intended when it was...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Built to transition traffic through the city. It was only meant to get it into downtown and out of downtown. And that's why we have three major highways coming together within the span of a half mile and have all the problems that are there.
Mike Allen is our guest for this edition of the Broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080. Mike will continue to recall some stories from WTIC's Air One when we continue. Of course, you can find all of these episodes podcast on our website, WTIC.com. If you look under More, you'll see 100 years. You click on that, and there's plenty of listening for you.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hey, it's Steve Parker, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're celebrating the Broadcaster at 100.
We're continuing the Broadcaster at 100, focusing on WTIC's Air One traffic reports with Mike Allen. Although it was not our only involvement with flying and having an eye in the sky at WTIC, it is something more recent and did directly impact people's lives. Those traffic reports, they could be a lifesaver when the highways were backed up, no doubt. Mike, I'd like to welcome you back to the show as we continue. Not too long ago, the Hartford Mobility Project came out with a study about moving the Hartford Viaduct, entrances to I-91, more pedestrian access, including on bridges over the Connecticut River. All of these different factors that would cost a significant amount of money and would take a long period of time in order to implement to make any kind of difference to commuters or people who live in and directly around the capital city. As you flew over Connecticut, Hartford, or maybe it was Waterbury or Bridgeport or anywhere else that you flew over, whether it was daily or on occasion, did you develop an opinion, Mike, about, you know, a way it could have been done better if they did X?
The real X was short-circuited a number of years ago. The Route 9 interchange was actually part of what was going to be a beltway around Hartford. It ran into some environmental issues and pushback. At the time it was being developed, it was actually a very forward-thinking solution. Some major cities had it, but the majority of, I want to say, people in power and voters just couldn't see far enough ahead where downtown would be strangled without a beltway. Now it would be virtually, I can't imagine what it would cost to put a beltway in just for the property that would have to be taken.
Some other major intersections that are problematic, let's say, or I would imagine you flew over a number of times, the Wilbur Cross and I-691. Did you ever go down there?
Oh, yes. Yep. Been down there. I was down there a number of times for accidents and problems, sure. The Route 8 interchange, the Mixmaster down there, that's under renovation right now, if I remember correctly. Actually, it was last year. I don't know if they finished it, but that was always very, very difficult.
Give listeners an idea on what your morning looked like from the time you went up and you flew around, and once you were in the sky, where did you go and how often? Give everybody a picture and an idea how that system worked for you.
All right. Well, I spent most of my years, a little over half the years, based at Simsbury Airport. I'd get to Simsbury at about 6 o'clock in the morning, pull the airplane out pre-flight, make sure everything was good, take off somewhere around 20 after 6. First report was about 6:40 in the morning, and every 10 minutes after that till 9 o'clock. I flew pretty much a set pattern. I call it a lopsided figure eight. It covered 84, 91, Route 2, 291, and a little bit of Route 4. I'd venture out further when, you know, we had issues and had to take a look at, but that basic course would take me about 20 to 22 minutes to cover. and I'd see downtown Hartford and the exchanges downtown twice in that, you know, about every 10 minutes I would see that. So I would do that till about 9, land back at Simsbury Airport. At that point, the day was mine until about 3:30 in the afternoon, quarter after 3 in the afternoon, when I'd start it all over again and do it till about 6:10.
I'm thinking about some other notable incidents that did not happen in the greater Hartford area. I mean, you've got the Mayanis River Bridge in Greenwich that collapsed in 1983. Were you there for that?
I did fly down and take a look at that. It was just, it was an incredible sight to see, to just see what was a bridge gone. It was hard to fathom, but it was a precursor for other bridges to come.
At the time, there was also Metro Networks, and they covered traffic, too, and that's where Jerry Griswold came in at the time.
That's right. They had an airplane for a short time in Hartford, but it didn't last too many years. You know, it's an expensive operation, and 1080 was such a powerhouse, is still, that the competition was just too much for them, and Air One won out.
Did TV stations do anything in the sky?
They did very little. You know, they had Sky 3 and Chopper 8 and so on. There was a very brief period where Channel 30 wanted to put a camera in Air One. That was, I'm going to say that was probably the mid-80s. But the technology at that time was prohibitive. It's just the mount for the camera was going to cost some $30,000+, never mind the camera equipment and the ability to broadcast and that sort of thing. So it never went anywhere at that point. Today it's just so easy to do that it's a no-brainer.
Now that you mentioned technology, how is it that you can be up in a plane very high up in the sky, well, not very high, but you're high enough, you're higher than people on the ground, that's for sure, and there's no wire connected to the airplane and the radio station or the transmitter site. You guys use two-way radios. How did that even possibly work?
It was quite a setup. Larry Titus, former engineer at the radio station, chief engineer, was one of the guys that developed an audio panel for me, and what he basically did was interfaced the broadcast radios, the AM radio that I needed to hear myself on the air. And that's how old the technology was. Up until the last few years, I actually listened to myself on the air rather than getting a feedback on the two-way. But and I was also an auxiliary state police trooper, so those radios were all mounted in the airplane, and there was an audio panel built in to allow me to control them.
That is absolutely wild.
When the airplane was grounded, I offered the audio panel back with the caveat that if they didn't want it, I wanted to have it, and it sits on my desk right now. I have the last audio panel that was built and we were using from the airplane.
Oh, my God. Wow. Now, that's a collector's item, Mike.
Yes, sir, it is. Custom built by Mr. Larry Titus, and it was quite a piece of engineering.
How did you manage the delay in listening to yourself and knowing when you had to talk and all of that?
In the early days, when I listened to myself live off the air, there was no delay whatsoever. Once the repeater system came in, making everything much more efficient and going to digital broadcasting, there was, I guess, what is it, somewhere around a 20-second delay, something like that. We had to mount an additional two-way radio in the airplane that would give me the live feed over the two-way that was matched to what was going out over the air. So I would have to listen to that. I no longer listened to the AM radio. When I saw it, I thought it was pretty amazing, but hey, you know what? It worked.
Let's go back in time and sample how Air One traffic reports sounded in the busy morning. Mike Allen, of course, up in the sky. Ray Dunaway piecing everything together. And WTIC news anchor Bill Pierce beginning his morning report. And if you listen closely, you'll catch the date.
Morning, coming up on the 7 a.m. news, time for a check of traffic now. Mike Allen's here from WTIC's Air One. Mike.
Ray, southbound 91, still a good drive, although it's building a little bit at the 84 interchange. Northbound 91 is running smoothly. Westbound 84 is a little heavier now at the Bulkley Bridge. Eastbound 84 is quiet. Route 2 westbound is stopped and approaching exit 4 up to the 84 interchange. I'm Mike Allen, flying WTIC's Air One.
Thank you, Michael. Mostly sunny and a high of 55 to about 60. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, patchy valley fog, lows in the mid-30s to near 40, and then Friday, partly sunny, becoming breezy. Increasing clouds late, 55 to 60. We have 38 right now at the weather station, WTIC. At the tones, exactly 7 a.m. Oh, lottery numbers for you at 7:12 this morning.
WTIC.
You're listening to Connecticut's 50,000-watt clear channel voice of news, weather, traffic, and sports. WTIC Hartford, an American radio system station.
Morning at 7, time for the latest WTIC News, 30th of October, 1997, Thursday morning, and the news brought to you by CompUSA and Sue Chalet. Good morning, I'm Ray Dunaway. From the News Center, here's Bill Pierce. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ray. Mike Tyson is down for the count, the boxing champ in stable condition after a motorcycle accident landed him in Hartford Hospital.
Well, that's how it all sounded in 1997. Of course, different names now, and we're not up in the sky anymore. But the mission, it's stayed the same. More with Mike Allen on Air One Traffic Reports and a crash that redefined his career.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, and we are all celebrating the broadcaster at 100.
I'm Morgan Cunningham as we continue with the broadcaster at 100 on WTIC News Talk 1080 as we celebrate our road to proud operation for 100 years. We are currently in our 99th year of broadcasting. Next February, February 10th, 2025, we officially turn 100, and we continue to celebrate our progress as a community service for the rest of the time leading up to that February 10th, 2025 date. An example of WTIC's coverage of community events is the 2005 Avon Mountain crash. No doubt a tragedy. 23 people were injured. 4 people were killed. A 5th person would later die from the injuries that they sustained in that crash when a runaway dump truck went all the way down Avon Mountain from the West Hartford side into Avon, crashed into vehicles and a bus below. It was a disastrous crash, and the people wanted answers. The people wanted answers because that particular crash hit home for so many people. Many people use that intersection, Route 44 and Route 10, where they meet at the bottom of the mountain. How do we prevent this crash from happening again? Why did it happen in the first place? Are our laws strict enough to protect people from an accident like that from ever happening again? These were the questions and others that people wanted answers. They were also curious about how the community was coming together. This was before those GoFundMes and whatnot really became prominent. When there's a tragedy today, you've got GoFundMe, and voila, people can donate to a particular cause, whether it's one person, a group of people, you get the picture. But in 2005, that wasn't so much the case. So we heard human stories of people rushing over to try to help victims involved in this particular crash. And WTIC was there to bring those stories and other similar developments over the years to the audience, as well as, again, answering those questions, how do we prevent this from happening again? But it was WTIC's Mike Allen flying Air One who broke the story to the state of Connecticut and the world.
There's many vehicles involved. I can't hardly count because some of them are totally destroyed. There's several vehicles around a bus. Just west of the bus is two or three other vehicles. They look like trucks, or at least one of them is a truck that was fully involved in fire, creating a tremendous column of smoke. Avon Fire Department has had to use foam to put the fire out, presently out, but the intersection basically completely shut down right now and will remain so for quite some time.
Again, I stress that, yes, it was important at that point in time to get the information out to the public. Avoid that area. As time went on, though, the impact of that story became the focus. Again, the community aspect, the response, preventing it from happening again, those kinds of things. But, Mike, if you could take us back to that day, July 29th, 2005.
I can recall just starting my turn westbound from downtown Hartford, heading out toward the Farmington area, and seeing this column of black, skinny column of smoke rising straight up over Avon Mountain. And I thought, wow, that's a little odd, and it's skinny. Usually a house fire, you have a thicker column, and it looks a little different. So I decided to head over, and I will tell you that it's the only time that I've seen something from the air, and I've seen some pretty terrible crashes, but it's the only time I've seen something from the air that actually made me start to feel ill. The carnage was incredible.
As an observer of that, I mean, we're all people here, and I know that when we're reporting, we try to be as impartial as possible, but how do you deal with something like that? You're seeing crashes all the time, not just the Avon Mountain crash, but all of these wrecks. A number of them turned fatal, as did the Avon Mountain crash. How did you cope with that mentally? You're seeing it firsthand up in the sky with a pretty good view.
It was a somber afternoon. I will say that my personality allows me to process it and for as bad as this may sound, just accept it for what it is. There was nothing I could do from the air. I am glad that I didn't know about some of the people that were there. Two vehicles back was a very close friend of mine's son, who I used to take flying and had become a West Hartford police officer. And right behind him was my cousin, who's on the Avon Fire Department. And they were both intimately involved with the initial phases of taking care of things in that accident.
You were there all day covering that, weren't you?
Pretty much. I believe, as I mentioned, I normally land about 9, but I believe I stayed up another hour and a half or so and just kept an eye on it. Went back in, landed fuel, took a little bit of a break, and I did go up early that afternoon to get a look at things.
The state eventually would enact change in response to the Avon Mountain crash of 2005. In 2008, they added a runaway ramp. So if you're coming from West Hartford and going into Avon by the Old Farms Hotel, you would see that there is a runaway ramp that's intended for vehicles who've lost brakes or lost control for some other reason to go plowing into that ramp and prevent a tragedy like that from happening ever again. To this date, August 31st, 2024, it has never been used. I'd like to shift to a more positive memory before we wrap up the show, Mike. Sue Daly in sales was telling me about how in the 90s there was a deal with A.C. Peterson's in West Hartford that you would eat their ice cream in a Dorset in a plane, but there were some logistical challenges there because they had to obviously rush from West Hartford up to the airport in Simsbury if it were a hot day and you're up there in the blazing hot sun. Well, it could melt.
I hadn't thought about that one in ages. Leave it to Sue to remember that. That was quite something. A.C. Peterson's actually was a little more personal to me because growing up in Bloomfield, A.C. Peterson's, that's where they were, A.C. Peterson's Farms. And, God forbid, you did not go get ice cream anywhere else aside from A.C. Peterson's.
Did you actually try it while you were flying and up in the sky?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
That's easy enough to do. If I remember right, didn't we? I must have had a cooler or something like that. I believe that was a promotion at the West Hartford store.
Let's fast forward a little bit to near the end of your career at WTIC. The airplane was grounded in 2017, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Did that surprise you?
Not really. I was hoping that it might continue longer, but corporate ownership of 1080 decided that we could serve the needs of traffic by using the modern-day cameras and sensors and people calling in and so on and so forth. Hartford has a pretty good camera system on the interstates. What you lost was no cameras on 44, no cameras on Route 4. No cameras on 291. Well, a couple on 291, but not enough to really cover it. So you lost some of that. But overall, we were able to still, between callers and Mark and I working together and Jerry Griswold, put out a pretty darn good product.
Do you miss it, or are you enjoying life having moved on?
The answer is yes to both. I do miss it. It was quite a time. It was a great career. It was a great run. It was just an awesome, awesome experience. Some days were mundane, but boy, when it was exciting, it was exciting. Completely shifting gears, I'm the executive director for Habitat for Humanity down here in southern Georgia now.
When I think of WTIC greats and people who made a difference at our station doing very unique tasks, let's put it that way. So obviously we've got Bob Steele on the list, among other big names. I put you on that list too.
Fortunately, you can't see it through the phone, but you're making me blush. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Former WTIC Air One traffic reporter Mike Allen, as we wrap up the broadcaster at 100 for this month. We'll do it again next month on our path, our road to 100 years of WTIC. And head over to WTIC.com, click under More, select WTIC 100 Years. You'll find this show and others.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.